First, I want to thank my friend Yecheved Yehuda Dafna. This has always been our shul away from shul, our home away from home. From the beginning, the wonderful learning and simchas that we've had here, Baruch Hashem. We should continue in Yerushalayim with these simchas, so the family should have only good health, and Yehud and Yecheved should have brachas, simcha, nachas in each room. We're on page Yud Dalet, Ois Yud Aleph. Here, Rav Tzvi Meir goes through seven basic nakudas, basic points in the Inyan of Shmiras Hayaladim, watching, protecting, and guarding our children. And then he focuses, after this, on one of the nakudas. So let's begin. V'zeh kol panim, the bottom of page Yud Dalet. All the way to the last three lines, that's where the actual paragraph begins. Zal kol panim hayisoy dat kamish avinu shabashmayim reitzu shenizker as a chashivas shal hashmir, as a koichas shal hashmir shanachna makavlam hayifanim shal shmir hayim bli shir v'soif. But Simei says that certainly there's no end to the different types of shmir, of protection, of guarding, and it's without shir and soif. Avinu shabashmayim meyelonu kaseid l'chol av v'aim. The Baruch Shalom is helping every father, every mother, l'chol mashpia, every teacher, every rabbi, b'chol gil, shalayiyah, whatever the age is, l'chol yed, l'chol talmud, eich efshe lishma yisai, eich efshe lahoyalo. How, even in the life of each particular child, and each particular family, the different ways of shmir, and what that child needs, and the kalim, the koiches that that parent has, that Hashem is Baruch shows and helps parents, but Baruch Hashem not alone. We're going to concentrate on one of these things. Before we go into that one, we're going to just, he says, very briefly discuss seven different aspects, seven different levels of shmira, of watching the children. And again, this has to do with students, not just if it's a biological child. It has to do with talmidim and talmidas and so on. Ubamis shayikhu tefila liska kaseider hein levakish magadosh baruch hu ata Hashem sishmerim vein levakish and neida eich lashpia es hashmir. We're going to talk about more. We're going to talk more about this at the end and tomorrow a little bit in mitzvah also. The deker, of course, that's behind all of this to make all of this work is davening, is tefila, ata Hashem. Sishamrim, Rabban Shalom, watch them. Take care of our children and watch our children. And Levakesh, this which also includes Levakesh Shaneda Makash Borhu, Shanavakesh Shaneda Eich Lashpia Sashmir, that Hashem's Baruch should help us to know how to be Mashpia, this Shmir to our children. And we should know with each child. Every child needs a different Shmir. This boy, this girl, each one needs a different type of Shmir. Eich Lishmor Sapikotin. As we learned that every child was given to us by Hashem's Baruch as a pikadon, as a pikadon that we have to watch, that we have to take care of, that we have to try to return to Him in a way that's pure and that's holy. Eich nuchal amali is hashlichus v'tafkid shalanu. That Hashem's Baruch should help us, that we should be able to each and every one of us fulfill our shlichus and our tafkid, our responsibility, our job. Avo b'ktsara eilu sheva ha'ifanim. The kids said these are seven ifanim, seven ways. We're going to go through each of them, maybe here and there to make some haisafis, to add a little bit, but the main thing is the one that we're going to concentrate on afterwards. Hadava harishon shedibarnu, number one and two are very much connected here. Hadava harishon shedibarnu mishnei hashiurim harishayim, the mariches, hi hanhaga shalanu, heinayim shalanu, atzniyis shalanu, hargasha shalanu. Now, this is something which is hard for us to hear, and when a person doesn't understand this in the right way, it could bring back some upsetting memories of things that we might have heard given over in the wrong way. But certainly, as you'll see, it doesn't mean it that way. What he's saying here is that in everything that the children see in our lives, the way that we are, and he's going to focus on this a little bit more the next one. And everything that the children see in terms of how we live and how we act, in terms of what's important to us, what our priorities are, the children should pick up over the years that in their parents, in the lives of their parents, this world is havel havalim. This world is narishkeit. This world is narishkeit. They should pick that up somehow from the parents over the years. That this world and all the things of this world that people take so seriously, that it's havel havalim. Like Shlomo HaMelech says, it's narishkeit. Now what does that mean? The most important message that we have to give our children, and Reb Tzimei explains that this is not primarily with words. This is not mainly with words. Children see what's important in the lives of their parents. We've spoken about this 1,000 times, and we'll talk about it another 1,000 times, and continue to talk about it until you and I can improve in this area. That it's not a matter of lecturing to the child to say, listen, Shaifala, the most important thing in the world is to learn Torah. A father can say that 1,000 times to a child, but if the child sees that in his father's life, in his father's schedule, when he has free time, it's not Torah that occupies his time. And when he has a vacation, the father doesn't use that time for learning Torah. So the father can give 1,000 speeches about how important Torah is. And the father could say, did you do your homework? Did you chazer the Gemara? Where's your chavrusah? How come you're not going? And you have to go to Seidi, you have to go to Yeshiva. And what's going to be with you? What's going to be with you? What's going to be with you? And if the child would have the nerve and the audacity to say, what's going to be with me? It's the same thing that became of you. That he wouldn't say that. So in other words, I'll be Shana Shabbos. I'll try to be Shana Shabbos, but I don't see that by you Torah is such a big thing. So it's not the Iker. What Tzimei is saying here is that children understand over time whether or not this world, the world that we see with our eyes, is more important than the one that we don't see with our eyes. And at a very early time in their lives, they realize that either Yiddishkeit is the number one priority, either Yiddishkeit is the most precious thing to the parents, or they're just talking about Yiddishkeit, and they give speeches about Yiddishkeit, and they want the kid to get good grades and to be able to just have a passable type of Yiddishkeit so that, you know, somehow they'll be like them, or they don't end up going to Gehenna, God forbid. But as far as what's important and what's most precious to the parents, so the children see very soon whether or not in the eyes of these parents this world is very, very important, very chashuv, and Yiddishkeit is less important, or they learn from the parents that Yiddishkeit is the most precious thing in the world, and everything else is havel havalim. Everything else is havel havalim. It's not the point of being in this world. And there are many, many subtle ways that's transmitted, either in a good way, chas v'shalom, in a way that's not so good. But the children learn from the parents whether ha'ikar hulasas nachas ruach lavinu shvishmayim, whether the main purpose of our lives is to give nachas ruach, to give nachas to Hashem Yisbarach. She'ikar b'chol anyanim agashmim she'tzrichim ha'shvach ha'dor tzarech har be'dvarim. So Tzimei says, look, we're very weak in our generation, and we need many things. We need much more than our parents and grandparents needed in order to. I don't want to say the word survive, because it's not to survive, but to feel comfortable. Our parents and grandparents didn't need the things that we feel that we need. My father, Ad Hayyim, always looks at air conditioning as being a luxury. Air conditioning is a luxury. Do we look at air conditioning? I don't mean in the winter, I mean in the summer. Do we look at air conditioning as being something which is a luxury? Look at air conditioning as a yesod hachayim. And if a person doesn't have an air conditioner and it's a humid day, it's a hot day, we look at it as if it's not shaykh to live. It can't go on like that. And how could it be that we're in such a matzav? And it's very, very hard for us because we're shvach, we're weak. And the same thing when it comes to many, many things in Gashmis, the type of homes that we have and the foods that we eat. So Reb Tzimei says, okay, to say that it's a shvach ador, and therefore it's tzarech har be'dvarim. Therefore, there are many things that we need that we now consider to be absolute necessities that certainly by our parents and grandparents would have been outrageously, you know, overdone and never ever expected by our parents and grandparents. But we feel already that we need these things. We need these things. If somebody doesn't have a car, it's like he's not from the yeshuv. He's not the normal person if he doesn't have a car. How are you supposed to live if you don't have a car, and so on and so forth? That there are things that became to us that they became absolutely necessary. Even with our additional needs, the children can feel. And again, Reb Tzimei is not advocating living in poverty, and he's not saying that people shouldn't have air conditioners or cars or anything like that. He's saying Mercedes is shvach hadar. We're a weak generation, and we need these things. But the question is whether or not the children feel and they see in the lives of their parents that this is all part of the bigger picture of serving Hashem as Baruch, of being Avdei Hashem, or whether this is something that is taking them away from Hashem. Kol ha-dvarim ha-elu yesh lahem es ha-ashpah hachi gedola. All these things have a tremendous ashpah, tremendous influence. The children are watching and they see how this father, how does their father walk in the street? How does he conduct himself? How does he dress? How does he act? Where does he go? What does he buy? How does he act in the store? When he's going someplace, eichu nishmer. How careful is he as far as Kedusha and the places that he goes to, and how he stays away from certain places? So the same child that's taught from the very, very beginning, the boy is put into an all-boys school. And the parents are careful and they want to put the girl in a place where she's only with girls. So the children are waiting to see, are my parents also makpid? You can give them a speech. Well, it's different when you're older, you know, of course. When you're older, then you're allowed to socialize, and you're mature enough to understand. They don't understand that at all. They just see my parents are very makpid that I'm in an all-girls school, or I'm in an all-boys school, an all-girls camp, an all-boys camp, and that my parents have a hakpada, or even if it's a school where there are boys and girls in the same school, but that by a certain age they have classes for girls and the boys have classes, and the children see that apparently this is the Ratzon Hashem, this must be God's will. My parents obviously are serious about this, and they feel that we're supposed to be in an environment of Kedusha and Tahara, and the children from an early age associate holiness with separation. Why? Because their parents are makpid, and the school's makpid, and the camp is makpid, and even those camps were chalil, where they were co-ed camps. So they try to keep the boys on one side of the lake, Chveso, I don't know, on one side of the forest, and the girls on the other side, and to make believe that they don't know that there are all kinds of meetings that are taking place in the forest. So, all right, But even in those places where Hashem Yirachem, they don't pay attention to this Indian as much as they should, but they're still trying to make some sort of a hecker. You know, they try to make some sort of a separation so the children understand it. It must be this big thing as an Indian, like by Jews, that they have boys and girls separate. And then if they see that, they're watching to see, now how are my parents with this Indian? We can make believe this is not happening, but I mean it is. So how are my parents with this Indian? How does my father talk to someone else's wife? How does my mother talk to somebody else's husband? How do they act? When is there a shmir? Is there kedusha? Is there tznius in terms of how they act? And this makes a much, much bigger roshim on a kid than whether or not my mother's hat is an inch higher, an inch lower, or whether she has the sleeve a little bit like this, a little bit like that. The whole hanhag of kedusha. Of course, everything's important, but the whole hanhag of kedusha that the children understand, and they begin to get mixed messages. So in many situations, and that's what's happening nowadays, so much of this I see, and the kids are bitter about it because the kids talk about it later on. There are many, many kids that have tainus. One of the biggest tainus that I'm picking up from boys and girls when I talk to them, I mean to 16, 17, 18-year-old, 20-year-old, when I'm talking to them, is that my parents are hypocrites. This is a constant theme that I see, that I'm hearing over the years. I've spoken to thousands of chevra. My parents are phonies. My parents are hypocrites. Some of you would say my teachers are. But more with the parents, because the parents, they see 24 hours. Thank God they don't see the teachers 24 hours. When I say thank God, I'm only talking about immediate parents and teachers. I don't mean, God forbid, that this is the general way. Most parents and most teachers are wonderful and doing the right thing, and they're acting the right way 24 hours, and certainly nobody to speak. But I'm hearing this over and over from the kids. My parents expect certain things from me, and they made a whole day. I just had somebody just the other day came to talk to me about this. He says that there was a very chashev young lady that told me, it's not from our shul, but somebody came to speak to me that said that she's listening from the room. She hears her father yelling at her little brother that he's going to be a nothing because he's not learning the Chumash. And the father's screaming and yelling at her brother. And while he's screaming and yelling at the brother, she is on the internet because she has to do something for college. And the father left something behind on the internet, something disgustingly inappropriate that he was looking at the night before. So here's a young lady. A chash of a young lady. She's sitting in one room, reading something, and there was a picture also that the father was Isaac in the night before. He's in the next room screaming that you're a shagas, you're not frum, you're going to be an amharitz. You have to learn. You have to learn. You have to learn. So what do you think these kids are thinking? It's a very extreme situation. None of us chalila would ever be nifshal in such a thing. But it's. I mean, she never dreamt this would happen either. So what did she come to? She says, my father, she said to me, Bahach Lashem, these are the words. She says, I hate him. Why? She feels that she was tricked. She was deceived. Here she has a person that's yelling at her for the last 18 years about her sleeves, about her stockings, about her this, about her that, about doing her homework and being a Bas Yisrael and being a Bas Torah and all of these things. And then she says, in one second, the whole thing is ausgespielt, finished. One second, one button on a machine. The whole picture is completely ruined. That was a very sudden thing. She was picking up on simonim, signs of hypocrisy over all the years. She saw hypocrisy. How did the parents talk to each other? So you could send them to school, and they're going to beautiful classes all about midas, and then chalila in the house, if they hear that the father talks to the mother in a way that's not with their cheres, it's not with masikas, that's not with ne'imas, it's not pleasant, it's not kind, or if God forbid the mother talks to the father in a way that's without their cheres, without covet, so then that's the biggest base medrash in the world. Every kid, 24 hours a day, is living in the best medrash. And he's going to come to the conclusion that something is wrong. Something is not right. Either the Torah is true and my parents are phonies, or God forbid, the alternative we don't want to talk about. That alternative is also not so good. So this is the site of the entire chinuch. I mean, we've spoken about this a million times. Obviously, it can't be emphasized enough. So that's what he's saying here. There's no stronger way to protect a child. That when you and I, there was zeichah to be parents, that our children watch us and they see how are we. What do we read? What are the books that we have? So what do children think when the parents read certain books and magazines, and when the kid picks up that book and magazine in the house, the parents say, no, that's not for you. Oh, we didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu gave two Torahs in Har Sinai. See, I'm not talking about because it's very philosophical and deep. Like if you have on the table sitting a Noam HaLemelech or something, and then you say, no, that's not for you. He explained this to Noam HaLemelech. You know, we want you to learn this, and I'll learn it with you, but it's very deep. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about magazines and newspapers. I'm talking about all these catalogs that the women think that there's some sort of a heter for the women to have these catalogs, and that they have these little 12, 13, 14-year-old girls walking around, and they leave these catalogs all over the house and preaches different things, and they tell the girl wants to take a look. Why shouldn't she? My mother looks at this, so the girl picks up, nope. So why not? You're not old enough. What does that mean? I'm not old enough. So what you're saying is that this is mutter, it becomes mutter at some point. That's not true. It doesn't become mutter at any point. It doesn't become permitted when you're older. So the child becomes confused. They just don't understand. They don't have. And then we try to, you know, so then all the explanations are different. We don't understand ourselves. We can't really explain why is there a different standard for them and for us. Or if a parent is watching certain things and this is not for you. If it's not for you, if it's not for me, it's not for you either. What am I? I'm not. We're all Yidden, no? We're all given the Torah and Har Sinai. So this explanation that there are certain things that are not for children, but they're okay for parents, that explanation is completely from the secular world. Anything that you or I would not want our children to see, it means we shouldn't be seeing it either. I'm not talking about something which is complicated or advanced, obviously, or something on the news about God forbid something, a tragedy, I understand that there's something that you don't want me to, we would try to protect them from hearing things that would be distressing and upsetting regarding something benogeya to the news. I'm not talking about that, that's obvious. I'm talking about stan entertainment. Bruce was entertainment. So watching the show. So it's not for me, so why is it for you? This is something that we are constantly being asked by Hashem Yisbaruch, why do you think that there's a different standard? It says in this week's parasha, Rayim HaSakarlis, it says that when Hashem Yisbaruch gave us the Torah in HaSinai, we saw the sounds, right? So, and the Gemara says, I mean, we don't know what that means, how do you see a sound? Rayim HaSakarlis. So Chazal say that it was an amazing thing that we were able to hear, we were able to see that which is normally heard. Sounds are normally just heard. But when the Torah was given in Har Sinai, this parasha, we saw the sounds. So I was thinking, maybe that's what it means. It's not enough for our children to hear about being Jewish, to hear about Yiddishkeit. They have to see our voices. You understand what I mean? They have to see the voices. They have to see that it's not just that we're talking. They have to see. They have to see the sounds that what we're saying is, it's in our lives that we're living this way. We're authentic. And children can accept, every child is forgiving. They're much more forgiving than adults. And every child can forgive a parent for an occasional slip-up. We forgive them, they forgive us. A mistake, an occasional mistake. But children can see if there's a certain pattern. They can see there's a certain mahalach. And it's not a question of forgiving. They just come to the conclusion that their parents are hypocrites. And when they come to that conclusion, God forbid, if a child comes to the conclusion, my parent is a hypocrite, then the whole binyan, the whole building begins to crumble. That doesn't mean anything anymore, what you say. And now we're talking about damage control, that maybe they'll admire some teacher, some rabbi, and they'll try to emulate that rabbi. That would be already a big mitzvah, if it'll work out. But in terms of the lechatchil, of how we're supposed to mechanech children, this is what he's saying. Shetalmidim roim esamalamed. The students are always watching the Rebbe. Okol mashpia acher. Eichu holech. How does my Rebbe conduct himself? How does my teacher talk? How does she act? How does he act? And so on. Eichu oimeid. How does he stand? Eichu noki v'tar. How careful is he with being noki, meaning pure and holy? Eichu kadosh. Eichu adin. In terms of his edelkeit. You know how many times I've heard young ladies tell me, well, every year for my parents, I should be edel, I should be edel, I should be edel. But I can hear my mother, you can hear my mother a block away yapping and you know, on the phone, from a block away, but I have to be edel. I hear this all the time. I'm supposed to be edel. You're not going to get a shidduch, you're not edel. Edel, 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 edel. In Barapak, idol, or here, edel. But you're not, the edelkeit, the edelkeit, what's going to be? You're not edel in school, edelkeit, every girl, edelkeit. This is what they're hearing all the time about being edel. Edel is a beautiful thing, being gentle. And they don't know all the chilukim, so what's wrong with the mother having a wild comment? It was so bad. It was so terrible. They don't understand all the chilukim. To them, it's not edel. And they're being told to be edel. That's what it means, eichu adin. To see if the Rebbe, if the teacher, the children are watching, is he gentle? Is there a gentleness to him? In terms of the kedusha of how he conducts himself, that's how the Torah is shining. That's how it's given over to the children. The kol mashahu umashahu tahara. Any little tiny drop of tahara, of pureness. Yochel hashpia ulahayir is able to be mashpia, to influence and to illuminate, as amaras Hashem imreis tahayrais, that the child should feel the holiness and the pureness of Hashem's Torah, of Hashem's words. Zoh hadav harishon. That's the first thing. There was somebody who came to the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim is the Sanzerov. Somebody who had, he was a young parent, young father, he had a couple little kids, and he came to the Divrei Chaim, and he asked the Divrei Chaim to please daven. He says, Rebbe, please daven for me that I should be able to be mechanech my children properly. He asked the Rebbe, please daven that I should be a good father, I should be mechanech my children properly. So the Divrei Chaim said to him, now you're coming to me. you should have come to me, he said, you should have come to me many, many years ago, and you should have asked me, how could you be an Erlich Yid? You should have sought out my advice, how could you make yourself into a greater Jew? He says, Mimela, if you would have worked on yourself in the earlier years to be a greater Jew, so the Mimela, there would be no problem, and the chinuch of your children would be 100% kesedah. So now what you want, like this, you want to be able to, you establish for yourself a certain way of life, and you're enjoying your way of life, and you want to live this way, and you think you can go to the rabbi, you're going to put down a kvittel and a couple of rubles, right? I could put down a couple of dollars with a kvittel, rabbi daven for my children, they should be good Jews. So rabbi says, you had to come years ago to talk to me about how you could be a good Jew. Because if you'll be a good Jew, and you'll be consistent, you'll be Erlich, you'll be Ben Torah, so Mimela, then your children Bezer Hashem. I mean, there are many, many things that can influence a child nowadays, even in the best families with the best chinuch. But that works more than any tefillah, that the parents themselves, that they should live a certain way. And that's what it means. We saw last week in Parshas Bo, so it says at the beginning of the Parsha, L'man tesaper ba'oznei bincha u'ben bincha. Right, Hashem's Baruch tells us that the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of all the miracles, will be told. We should tell our children and our children's children, right? It's Bincha, your son, or Ben Bincha, and your grandson. You need to tell all the children and the grandchildren. As I share with a lot of people, Mitzrayim, and what I did in Egypt, and all the miracles I did. And at the end of the pasuk is V'yidatam ki ani Hashem, and you shall know that I am Hashem. So tell me, what's the problem with the grammar of that pasuk? Again, Hashem Yisbarach says, I want you to tell the story of everything that happened. Tell it to your children, to your grandchildren. V'yedatem, and you shall know that I am Hashem. What's the problem? What should it say? Even forget the Hebrew. In English, it shouldn't say, and you shall know. What should it say? And they shall know, because you're talking about the kids. It should say, you shall tell your children and your grandchildren so that they will know that I am Hashem. But the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says, tell your children and your grandchildren, and you will know that I am Hashem. It's interesting. So I don't remember where I saw this in some sefer a long time ago. But he says a gewaldige thing. He says that if your children and grandchildren are hearing the story, if they're able to pick up on the story of Hashem, meaning to be Jews, you know why? It's because v'yedatem ki ani Hashem, it's because you know that I am God. If the parents know, the kids will pick up on it. So it comes out like this. L'man tesaper ba'oznei bincha ben bincha. Hashem says, tell over the story to your children, to your grandchildren, and all the miracles that I did in Egypt and so on. And you want to know the most successful way to give over the story of being a Jew? Story doesn't mean stories, ma'aselach. It means what it means to be a Jew. You know the most successful way to give over the story is not with speeches. It's v'yedat, and if you, the parents, know, k'ani Hashem, that I am God. In other words, if I'm the most important thing in your lives, v'yedatem k'ani Hashem, then the story will get across. They'll hear the story. Even if you're not a person that has a lot of words to say, and you're not articulate, and you don't know how to, you know, and you didn't prepare the Medrash says for the Shabbos table or something, don't worry. If you know v'yedatem k'ani Hashem, then the sipur, the story that you tell the kids, by every single action, by everything that you're doing, you'll be mashpia to the children. Again, mostly in the generations of our parents and grandparents, they were not so much bigger than speeches and shiurim. What do you think? You think our grandmothers went to shiurim or something? Maybe if you have anybody here that was in Germany. In Germany, the religious Jews, there was such a hasaga, you know, started in Poland already, not such a long time ago. But there was such a thing to go to shiurim, stuff like this. Not shiurim. But there was v'yedatem k'ani Hashem. There was this absolute certainty and knowledge that there's a Rabbanu Shalom, and that feeling of closeness to Hashem, that the mothers and the fathers, even those who were not learned, who knew much less than we know, to a large extent, they knew less than we know, especially when it came to the women, there were no schools at all, they knew much less than all of you know. But v'yedatem k'ani Hashem, but there was this feeling of closeness to Hashem, and there was a consistency in how they conducted themselves, but not on the mokum, but on the chaveru, there is a consistency. So the yedatem ki ani Hashem. So then lamatisarpa. Then the children and the grandchildren heard this. They didn't hear it. It's like I said before. They were able to see the sounds. They not necessarily hear the sounds, because not all parents or grandparents, and certainly in the older generations, were necessarily articulate, and they didn't have any tape libraries in those days. So how was Yiddishkeit given over? They didn't have tapes, they didn't have tables, they didn't have any video, they didn't have any garnish. So how is it possible that people put on tefillin and that the girls lit Shabbos candles? If it wasn't somebody, that nobody told them on a tape, you have to light Shabbos candles, and nobody gave a whole beautiful explanation from the Sfasemis and the Balatanya of what Shabbos means and so on. And it was, which is all beautiful, it's all very nice, and Baruch Hashem, our generation is very good to hear these things, it's Givaldi. But in terms of how it was given over, the children looked to see. And they picked up and they felt v'yedatem, if you know. That's why it says in Devarim later on, it says an unbelievable, the pasuk says, Hanistaris l'Hashem elokeinu, those things that are hidden and known only to Hashem. There are things in life that are hidden and known only Hashem knows what's inside. Then it goes on, v'haniglus lonu levaneinu, and that which is revealed to ourselves and our children. Last is called the Atikitas and Tayatara. So one of the tzaddikim said like this, all of us want that our children and that our grandchildren, that the generation should live lives of Torah. That they should live lives of Torah and keep halach and keep mitzvahs. What's the most powerful way to guarantee that that's going to be? So the tzaddik explained, Hanistaris l'Hashem elokeinu. What does it mean, Hanistaris l'Hashem elokeinu? What's going to primarily determine whether or not our children and our grandchildren and future generations are holy and are keeping, Vahniglas l'Hashem elokeinu, that are keeping the Torah, is how are we, who are we, when nobody in the world sees us, only Hashem. Like that girl's father the night before on the internet. Unfortunately, he never realized that somebody else was going to see it. Hanistaris, that which is hidden in us, in Avodas Hashem, if a person's hidden essence is what V'yedatem Ki Ani Hashem, is Hashem's Baruch, is Yiddishkeit, then that's going to be revealed in the lives of the children. If a parent is just living a life of Yiddishkeit, but hanistaris, but in the heart, the most important thing is not Yiddishkeit. So the tzaddikim say that will become hanigla islanovin, that will become revealed in the children. It'll come out in the lives of the children. You might be able to get away with it, and you act a certain way, and you conduct yourself a certain way, but the next generation, and certainly the third generation, what was inside of us is going to emerge in our children and in our grandchildren. Hanistaris l'Hashem elokeinu, hanigleis lonu levaneinu. A person has to make a cheshbon. Who I am and what I am, when nobody in the world is watching, only the Baruch Shalom. And there's no one in the world that will ever find out. There's no cameras, there's no one that's reporting, there's no one, only the Baruch Shalom. It's like Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim Mamish. That's what Yosef HaTzadik said, V'halisim is atzmoisai mizayitchem. He said, take out my bones. Atzmoisai means from the word atzmi, my essence, and also from the word atzmo, which means by himself. That the highest avoda of Yosef HaTzadik was that there was nobody else in the world, only Yosef HaTzadik. There was no other Jew in Mitzrayim, just Yosef HaTzadik. And he did what he had to do. And he said, take that with you, wherever you are in life, that you have to be a Jew 24 hours. Whether they're watching you, whether they're not watching you, whether you think your children see you, or you think your children don't see you, because who you are when you're by yourself, ba'atzmacha, how you conduct yourself when you're by yourself, that's going to come out in the lives of the children. Ha'niglas lanu levanim. That's what's going to emerge in their lives. What's nistaris by us is niglas. What's hidden in us is going to, and how we are when we're hidden from the world is what's going to be nigla. It's going to be revealed in the lives of the children. Obviously, there are a million things to talk about in this nakuda. The second, hadavar sheni. The bottom of page Yudalit. This is a hemshach, really, it's a connection of the first thing. Hadavar sheni ledabri miyaladim keseda kol yelid v'kol talmid lefi dargoso lahavil esinyani elam hazeh. It's what he was saying before, is that it's not only just that the children should see in our behavior what's important, what are our priorities, but it means even to make certain comments from time to time. Again, he's going to say that we have to be careful about how we say these things, but lahavil esinyani elam hazeh, to explain it, to show it, to make comments, to indicate that there are things that maybe in the rest of the world are taken very, very seriously, It's Havel Havalim, it's Nairishkeit. It's just Nairishkeit. The whole United States of America, maybe even beyond the United States of America, we're making a tumult last week about a tumor, something that happened on the television last week that was a tumor by the football game, and the whole, and I had a student of mine called me to ask me about the whole, and what's going to be. It's not worth wasting one's breath on the Havel Havolim and the Nairishkeit, unless you could teach a lesson, unless the Rebbe could make a point. Obviously, to make a point, if you're talking to students, talking to other Jews, and you need to be machazik something, it's Havel Havolim. This is what the whole America was thinking about last week. It's Havel Havolim. It's a pachad mamish. I was saying yesterday morning at the Chassidus. Yesterday morning at Chassidus, I was talking in the Mamar from Balatan. You were learning. So I mentioned this to you last time that I heard on the radio. But I heard on the radio on the news that there was a woman, some kind of expert. I don't know. She says she's an expert. I guess they put on the radio because she has some credentials. So what was she saying? She was talking about how, When you have people, a man and a woman, that they get a divorce, the one that suffers most from the divorce is the pet. This is what I heard on the radio. There was a woman who was interviewing, she said like this, she said that people don't realize, and it's a terrible tragedy, that people don't realize that when there's a divorce, that all of a sudden, this dog, or this cat, whatever it is, I don't know if it goes to turtles or things, but the dog certainly, that the dog is depressed. Mom is depressed, and the dog is walking around like not being himself. And this is something that people should think about before they take this step. What effect is going to have on the hunt, on the dog? So I was listening to this, and I was driving the car, and I always try to learn from everything, and then I'm going to come talk to the chevra about it and see like what can we. But I just said, like the Baruch Shalom said, Mashiach. I don't know what's going to be. Like what's there to talk about? She was using that tone of voice, like, you know, like a whining, and the whole thing was like, I can't even explain. Like, you know, like you don't understand. You know, and this is terrible, and this is, people don't realize the effect this has. Trying to make, she's from the Bronx, but she's trying to feel like she's from Boston. You know what I'm saying? Like she went someplace to some Ivy League school. And she's talking on the radio. She thinks the whole world is meshugah. Not that I don't. Not that we don't. The Torah tells us that we have to have rachmanis v'rachma v'kol ma'asim. Of course, we have rachmanis on that. This is the tragedy of divorce, Nebuch. That there's a behemoth that doesn't understand how come this person's not in the house. Okay, whatever. So go. So she must have. She has a, maybe she's a therapist and she talks to them and she works with them. I don't know what, but it's, yeah, a person. It's the children have to realize, and again, it has to be in a delicate. Havel Havolim, Nairishkeit. And I was saying, you think that the disgusting thing that happened by the football game at halftime, that's the big, big avla, that's the most disgusting thing. The whole thing is Havel Havolim. Why would a religious person sit and watch grown men running around in their gachkes, tackling each other and jumping on each other? The whole thing is crazy. It's crazy. If a person stops and thinks about it, why would a God-fearing person want to see grown men jumping and hurting each other and tackling and all because this one has to get the ball over there? The whole thing is totally crazy. And the only reason that we buy into this is because we grew up in America, and so they're like, you know, it's like, of course. But what if you take the Chofetz Chaim into there? And you say, Rabbi, I want to show you something. What about the Chofetz Chaim? The Chofetz Chaim is 100%, he's unaffected. He doesn't have any of our baggage. It's just a shtick tired. Chofetz Chaim is Maimon HaSinai. Chofetz Chaim is Maimon HaSinai. So you can say all these things about like this, and you know, it's very important because everybody needs an outlet, and you know, boys will be boys and men will be men, and everybody has to have this outlet, and isn't this a wonderful thing? Because if not, they'd be beating up their wives or something. So then you give them this place, it's gewaldic, they can run around on the field and hurt each other, and if not, who knows, there would be, the whole world would be nechrev, would be destroyed from these people. I mean, you could say all the drushes you like. It's crazy. It's a meshug in the world. I mean, I don't have to give you examples, every one of us knows. The only thing is that because we got so used to craziness, you don't even realize. We don't even realize things are, and it's important to point out, not to become a negative person, but it's important from time to time, that's what he's saying, to point out that the children should understand this Narishkeit. What's important and what's not important. And when they see that, and like I was talking to the other day, so when they see that when the father comes home from shul, so they see that what the father, when it comes to what did the rabbi talk about, then he starts to make fun and says like this or like that, and this is not, and he doesn't agree with this. Or they see that during Haftarah you have the father doesn't even stay, you have these fathers that go to drink or something, they call in America a Kiddush club. It's crazy. What does that mean? In the middle of a Haftarah, what does it mean? That the Navi Yeshaya came to this world, according to the Tzaddikim tells us that when you're reading a Haftarah, the Navi Yeshaya is mamash talking to us. The Navi Yirmiyah is talking to us. The Baruch Shalom is talking to us. Does it make sense that an Orthodox Jew would go someplace and makes them Al Kain Baruch Hashem Zom Shabbos Kachay, saying Hashem's words, and makes Kiddush when the Navi's talking? The whole thing is totally outrageous. We got so used to it that people are sitting in a shul and stam. What is this? Crazy. The Baruch Shalom, it's his house, it's his place. It's filled with Kedusha. Jews were locked up in shuls and were set on fire by our enemies because they understood that this is the place where a Jew belongs. This is the yesod of a Jew, is a shul. And they burned us, HaKiddush Hashem. And instead, and a person gets standing in the basement while they're reading Haftarah downstairs, hiding like a little kid. You have grown men that hide like little children, and they sing, "Al Kain Baruch Shem Shabbos Kachay." The rabbi didn't know that. And they make a glass of schnapps, and they have a little bit, and then they go off for musaf. What is this? Crazy? But we don't. We got so used to things. What does it mean? Bechlal, what does it mean? So once the Baruch Shem gives a yontif, it's called Purim. Isn't it wonderful? That's an outlet. But what does Purim mean? It's not what we think. I mean, what does Purim mean? It's the whole need of Ad Loyada. The whole Inyan of Purim is that Jews get dressed up and wear costumes, and we understand that the whole thing is, this whole world is a mask. The whole world is a galachter, it's a joke. The whole world is just a costume, is making believe. That's what it means, Adal Loyada. Adal means until you reach that level, what? Well, this world doesn't mean anything to you. Well, you realize that it's Adal Loyada. The whole thing is crazy. And that's the meaning of a little bit something on Purim to take to a person. So not what they made of it, what they already made. Some chistar, they made Kiddush, they made Purim. The Purim became, like, the whole yisod of Purim is drinking to act crazy and all of this. So the whole meaning of Adla Yada is that to realize that this world is Havel Havolim. So they make the whole America is up in arms about what happened on television. And what about the show that it happened in? Or what about the football of the show? So what's the reason to spoil? The whole thing is crazy. So our children have to hear from us. They have to know from us that there are things in the world that are crazy. That's what he's saying. Laharvelis and Yoni Yelamazeb Ben Lahedya Veiku Shalei Lahedya. Sometimes you have to tell them Beferish, like many many parents maybe had to sit down with their kids and explain to them. You know what happened? If they're watching the television, what happened? So I'm just like, what are all the fathers saying to the kids? Like they had this whole father son, you know, Super Bowl thing. But they advertise already in shuls in different places, in kosher restaurants, Super Bowl. So now I'm thinking this past week, never all these fathers have to explain, like, well, it's not what we meant. I never expected that to happen. We just wanted to see a football game. But this is all where things are, this is, and that's true. Well, of course that they never, God forbid, meant such a, but who says that the whole thing is bechlal kosher? Where does it say the bechlal is kosher? And it's not havel havolim, it's not narishkeit. And if a kid sees that his father can never get to shul on time, there are boys and girls that grow up in America and other places as well, where they never ever saw their father get to shul for the brachas in the morning on a Shabbos. During the week they usually don't know what's going on, but on the Shabbos they never saw their fathers being shul on time. What does that mean? But you could be sure by the Super Bowl, the opening punt, everybody, the opening kickoff, everybody's there. They made all the hachanas. Not only that, they have all different things. Everything's ready. The potato chips, the drinks, and all, you know, so the gartel and everything was, and everybody's all ready. And they went to the mikveh. But when it comes to shul, there are children that never ever saw their fathers go to shul on time. So what does that mean? That means that davening is not so important. They feel they have to go. So they're walking around. The kid sees shul. They know shul's at whatever it is, 8:30, quarter to nine. So shul's at 8:30. His father's walking around the house, 8:30. He's like, putting on his tie, and he has a coffee, and he's looking whatever, the newspaper. So what do the kids think? This is the most basic part of chinuch. And you know why it's the most ignored? Because it's the hardest part of chinuch. It's so much easier to criticize principals and teachers. It's so much easier to have tightness about the curriculum. And if I would be the principal, that's not the chinuch. The main chinuch of the parents is not being a principal or a teacher. The main chinuch of the parents is to live holy Jewish lives. And my father didn't give me long speeches. Not that it worked. I'm not saying it worked so well with me. But it wasn't speeches. That's not what we heard. There weren't drushes. It's just a giving over of the truth because of who you are. And sensing that. And knowing that when it comes to things, let's say, when it comes to honesty and business and money, things like this, that you see that for the children to see that the parents are erlich, that the parents are careful, that they're with anything that there's a chash that doesn't belong to them, God forbid, they're careful. They're careful with somebody else's things. The children see this. So he says, Ve'iku shaloi lahadya. The main thing is that you don't have to necessarily tell the kids beferish about, but they see ha'aba mesaper ma'ase okshemedarbrim, on the next page says, Vav me'ize inyin derech agav shebebchinais yiduas. With children, very often, what he's saying is that you don't have to spell things out for them about some of the negative things in the world. I've never talked to kids the way I just spoke to these kind of things. But the children, in a way that they sense in you, they hear, they pick up from you, that there are things that are not for them, things that are not good. This is a tremendous, tremendous shmira. This helps the children in an unbelievable way. V'adav ha'shlishi, on page Tezvav, the third thing. Listen, it's all one thing really, but look at the words. Ad kama shehayelad roish is a mamish benafsho. A child has to see that the parents' Yiddishkeit is mamish benafsho. What does that mean, mamish benafsho? It means, not that it's in his soul. Mamish benafsho means that my parents would die for Yiddishkeit. Mamish benafsho. Mamish benafsho. My wife remembers when she was little, and my in-laws lived in a neighborhood because my father had a job somewhere that wasn't the yeshiva really there. It's not like it wasn't like it is now. Baruch Hashem, in New York, the yeshiva is pretty close to almost any neighborhood in New York. In those days, it wasn't so much. And they lived someplace, and there wasn't the yeshiva that was nearby. And my wife told me how her mother would go on a bus for hours. They didn't have transportation. She would go on buses with the kids, take them to yeshiva, and then go back home, do what she had to do, and then again, nachamol, buses, hours, to go pick them up and bring them home. That's better than any speech. The kid sees. This is her mamish, her life. And it was her life. It was probably all together. Like it was like six, 8 hours. It was like 6 hours. Right? It was the a big chunk of the day. But it's not negotiable. This is who we are, and it's benafshay. It's benafshay. They see what the parents that the Yiddishkeit is mamish benafshay. And that's why the inyan of Pesach and making Pesach, if it's possible, I'm not. But it's benafshay. My parents' Yiddishkeit is mesiras nefesh, and there's nothing that means more to them than Yiddishkeit. That's the Yesh Kaidish, because that's not kamish is a oyla la'abel imel la'mamid b'chaim shayilodim yunikim b'tahirim. The children know how important it is for you, how desperate you are that they should be holy. Parents know that. The parents know that you're letting them watch certain shows. If that's the situation, I'm not talking about you, I'm saying children know that the parents are letting them get away with things. The children know that the parents are letting them, that the parents are okay with that, with things that are not conducive to holiness. That means that my parents are not, it's not benafshan that I should be holy. It's not benafshan. All Yaakov Avinu was worried about was Oid Yosef ben Ichai. All Yaakov Avinu was worried about was, is my son, is Yosef a tzaddik, still a tzaddik. That's all. And as it says in the Sfarim, that what, as he says, Ad kamash is Alaman Chayacha, Segeitmer and Leibniz says, Kach Yeshua says a kershul hashpa, that the attitude of Yaakov Avinu was that if my son is not a tzaddik, I don't want him to be alive anymore. That sounds scary. I don't want it. I once mentioned to you that the Brisker Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that before he died, we have this conversation that he had with Rav Shach. All of a sudden. So Rav Shach was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, and he saw that Brisker Rav seemed to be very downhearted. And the end was near. And Rav Shach says, Rabbi, what is it? What's wrong? Meaning, what's upsetting you? You look like you. So he said, you know, the children. Brisker Rav's an old man. It's my children. So Rav Shach said, the children? He said, Baruch Hashem, your children are tzaddikim. It's tzaddikim. So Brisker Rav said, I escaped from Europe. I had 13 children. I think that's the amount. 7 of them and myself, we were able to get out. The others remained. So listen to what the Brisker Rav said. I'm not going to be comfortable with it. He said like this. If I knew for sure that they were killed, I'm a Kabbalist. I accept the Din of Hashem if my children were killed. But every single day since the war till this day, I can't live thinking that maybe one of my children or more of them are someplace in a convent or in a monastery. It's Chakenishlin. I can't come to terms with this. If he's dead, Gemarner. Not to be a Yid, I can't. It's benafshe. Being a Jew is not like an extra thing. My kid learns Torah. It's benafshe. This is the whole tachlis of being in the world. And to bring it to the doris of Jews, it's benafshe. Listen to what he says. V'sipa, let's just finish with this last thing. V'sipa Yehudi, ma'isa shahayi v'bayis echad. I heard from a Jew, a ma'isa that happened in a certain home. She'echad yaladim lovash malbash lohayi mamish kirtzayin Hashem. Then what? That one of the children put on something, the clothing, that wasn't proper, that wasn't Shana Hashem, wasn't according to what those parents understood to be the halacha, the will of Hashem. V'aba nichnas in Beis HaMadrash. So the father came home from Beis HaMadrash, and he saw the kid was dressed improperly. V'le Omar Klum. The father didn't say anything. Rak Roha HaMalbush. He saw the child dressed that way. V'niya Lovan Kulai. He turned white. It looked like he was going to pass out. And you can be sure it's not like any of the things that they're wearing around on television. It wasn't anything like that, I'm sure. And he looked like he was going to pass out. He came home from shul Friday night, or whatever, Shabbos. He didn't say anything. He looked like he was going to faint, and he gathered himself. And he went to make Kiddush. V'hayelad halach miyad v'hichlif habeged, and the child went to change. V'yoyisul ahoyim aladabim, he said. There was nothing else to talk. There was no talking about it. V'hayel is a hashpoh l'kolachayim, and this kid told over that it made a hashpoh, it made a roshim on him his entire life. Because the kid saw that. There was no faking it. The kid saw the father push it. The father didn't give him a speech and yelled at him, what's the matter? The father just turned white, but he held himself not to criticize. But he saw that the father was going to pass out. That's it. Wasn't one word. Royim es hakoilos, to see the sounds. Didn't hear a word. The father didn't say anything. He saw that the father, mamish, couldn't live like that. He says, why? He says, Yesh b'chinah shayelad roya shaylulav b'chayim shezeh b'navsha, because the child sees that this is b'navsha, that my father's life, this is his mamish's life, this is worse than putting a knife, God forbid, in his stomach. The most natural instinct of a child is to want to make the parents happy, to want the parents to feel good, to make the parents proud of them. That's the most natural instinct of a child. To make his parents and his teachers proud. He wants the father, the mother to be happy. By the mother, the teacher, if the kid sees, it's not just a question of drushes. My father gives me speeches about things. Father didn't say a word in this case, didn't say a word. Why? Because sometimes the father says, because he has to say, or the mother has to say, you know, this is not right. That's what he's saying. In this story, what he's saying is that wasn't it at all. It's just the kid saw that this touches upon the essence of my father's life. This is the most important thing to him in his life. This is the meaning. Tzipanafsha is an expression. Means this is mamish, that which is the very essence of his soul. As a yeshu says, hashpa hanachayna. The father doesn't have to say a word. The mother doesn't have to say a word. It has a hashpa. It makes a tremendous roshim. When the kids see that this is benafsha, when the boy, you know, he should want to learn more, it's benafsha of the parents. Not just to give a little talk, did you learn today, did you chaz, but they see that there's nothing that's more important to the parents. There's nothing that's more important. And if it means taking a boy, let's say that there's an extra learning at night, there's extra learning to go when the boys start to get a little bit older, they go to Beis Medrash at night. It's a schlep. It's the last thing in the world you want to do is to go out, to have to get dressed and go out in the car, and it's freezing cold to drive your kid to Beis Medrash, right? And then the kids say you have to drive the kid to Beis Medrash, and then you have to pick him up an hour and a half later, right? It's the hardest thing. You couldn't find any carpool, nobody else, and your kid has a cheshek to learn, or you know that your kid would like to learn, or you know it would be good for your kid to learn. There's nobody in the world that knows, only you, your kid, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you're the one that puts on the coat, and then you go to the Beis Medrash and you take the kid and you drive him at night, and you tell the kid, this is not an imposition, this is my pride and my joy. I run around my whole life shopping and going here and there, taking care. Why do I live? I live so that you should go to the Beis Medrash at night, and I'll drive across the whole city. If you tell me you want to learn, and you have a chavrusa someplace not in the five towns, your chavrusa advice, you have a chavrusa in Tar B'Das or in Chaim Berlin, you have a chavrusa in YU, you want me to take you there? I'll take you there. There wasn't such a thing when I was growing up with my father. There was an ahavamina. That would be viewed as an imposition. For learning, for Torah? Anything, there's no such thing as a tircha. No tircha for me. For Yiddishkeit? No such thing. That doesn't mean that the kid feels like going shopping, you have to say, okay, anytime, honey. That could be a problem. But when it comes to going to a shir, you have a daughter that says, there's a teacher from that came from Yerushalayim, I want to go hear a shir. 24 hours. I'm on call to take you to shir. I'll wait by the outside. If I can't go in, or if I have to go back and forth, I'll wait for you. I'll be there for you. Middle of the night. That's chinuch. There's no drushes, no talks. The kids understand. They remember that till 120. A mother that's going out in the winter with a coat on, waiting to pick up from a shir, that's till 120. No speeches. The mother went outside. A father went drinking around to pick up. No speeches. That's benafsham. That's the biggest chinuch in the world for a child. It makes a rush in the last until 120. Well, Bezah Hashem is Baruch, obviously this is the hardest part of chinuch, because it means we have to improve. It's mechayev the parents. We really prefer methods in education that just have to do with kids, over teachers and stuff like that, but that's not the way of the Torah. The Torah is the Torah's emes, and the Torah says the truth, and this is the truth of the Torah. Hashem's Baruch should help us, that we should be able to live up to the Hashem's Baruch's hopes and expectations from us. Shkayach.